Well, hey there, Vanya.
Hi, Mike. You're famous. I mean, you're already famous, but you're famous. You were on like a program this morning.
I was on the news today. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like Good Morning America or anything, but it was the news.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was sort of weird how it came about. To be clear, for those listening, I was on Scripps News, which
cute.
I will be honest and say it's not really an organization I knew much about until, like, I think the Scripps Spelling Bee was brought up. And then I was like, oh, I have heard of that.
Yeah.
So, right. So that's the organization. And the sort of the way that it came about is, so, you, I mean, you know, and most people listening know that my other podcast partner and I, Elise,
uh-huh.
we do a series about, it started about Sex and the City, and then is obviously like, you know, we did the movies, and then we sort of segued into And Just Like That. And, you know, the second season of And Just Like That is starting up again, and it, I don't know if this was on purpose, but it just happens to be sort of coinciding with the 25th anniversary of Sex and the City beginning.
Kooky. That's crazy,
yeah, which
Mike.
Is, that is really bizarre to think that it's been 25 years since I sat in front of a TV and watched that first episode.
Wow.
Like, I remember watching that first episode. And they had reached out through, you know, we have like a mutual email account. So we both read it of like, hey, you know, to celebrate the 25th anniversary, we'd love for the two of you to like do a short interview. And of course, in my mind, well, two things. One, I'm like, really? Me? Like, we're not actually famous. But, you know, we do have the number one rated podcast about Sex and the
you
City.
You do. And you it's know. Amazing. It's really good. If you are listening and don't listen to that podcast, freaking get on it. We couldn't
and
have
I'm proud
wonder.
Of it. Like I like the work that we've done. I think we did a really good job. And so first of all, I was like, sure, let's do this, an interview, that'll be fun. And I don't know what I thought at first. I think at first I thought it'll either be like a written thing or like they'll interview us for print.
Right.
And then it was like, no, we want to like it's going to be video involved. And I was like, oh, that's a little more than I thought it was going to be, but they'll, I guess it's going to like a video, they'll edit it and put it out somewhere and all that. And it was probably yesterday when it was like, no, it's live. It's going to be live
oh
in the
God.
Morning that you're going to be like broadcast on the prestigious internet. And I've never done anything like that before. And to skip to the very end of the story, like I posted a picture and was like, the ladies had better makeup crews than I did. And which
you're
is a joke,
adorable.
Like, you know, but you know, Elise was like, you just need to get a ring light. And I was
yeah.
like, well, I don't do like people have ring lights. Cause they do like, what are they called? Where it's submissions or like tape submissions
or yeah.
Yeah. Or like what? Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not showing my behold to anyone. Like, why would I have a ring light?
You're like, I gotta get the right lighting on the testicle.
Just for the behold. So, and it was all fine, but I definitely like was then a little bit, first of all, 9:45 in the morning is not early for human beings, but is kind of early for me.
Right.
Other than the fact that I've been, you know, I've been taking it easy as far as, you know, I took like 4 days off of drinking.
Good
and then
for
I had a,
you.
Yeah, you know, I'm going on vacation next week and I'm, you know, not going to, you know, develop abs in the next week or so, but it's nice to just feel a little bit healthier. And
yeah, yeah.
I had a couple of cocktails yesterday out to, cause Elise and I have a new project coming up also that
ooh.
We, yeah, it's intense. We spent a good like 2.5 hours recording for it yesterday and then sort of rewarded ourselves by going out for, I feel like I say this every week that I went out for margaritas
and nachos,
which is,
yeah.
right? It's just the best thing to get.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was actually up at like 8 o'clock this morning and managed to like kind of get things done. And then I was like, well, it makes the most sense to record it in my room on my computer, but like the light's not as good here. And like, you see the background, it's fine.
Yeah, it's good.
But the background was more like just what Vanya can't see just off screen.
Is the pile
is
of laundry?
Like, it's a little messy. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the pile of laundry's over there. That's farther off screen. But there's like shelves and they're not super well organized. And if we flip around, like you can kind of see like, you know, the fun thing is Rosie's there.
I like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I got my Rosie O'Doll right there. But I thought like, you know, I'm going to set something up in the living room. The lighting is better. I'll kind of like prop up my phone and
yeah.
it'll look a little bit prettier. And then it's that thing where we were supposed to be in this virtual waiting room at 9:30 by following this link that then the link wanted me to download an app and then the app wanted me to like enter the link that I'd already used to get the app. And one of the instructions was, if you're having any issues, just call this number. And I could tell that the number had already called me because they were probably like, it's 1 minute late, you know, right, right. So I just called back. And the funny thing was I called back and they were like, hey, Mike. And I'm like, well, that's creepy, first of all.
Whoa.
Well, yeah, because they already had my number. So I guess it makes sense, but it was a little bit like, okay. And they were just like, it's going to work better on a computer. And I'm like, okay, well, my plans are ruined.
Yeah.
So like, I had to like come back to my room and like try to get things set up. And it all went fine. It is that funny thing of like, I've never done anything like that
before. Good for
you. And it's me and this woman who was interviewing us and then Elise. And, you know, none of us, the three of us, are in the same place. And I can see, you can see the person that's talking, but you can, it was very odd. Yeah. It all worked well. I think that the interview went well. Of course,
can we look it up or is it only live?
So I have the video of it and I can, we're allowed to post it. So maybe I'll post it somewhere or maybe I'll send it to you and you can, and Elise posted a piece of it on her Instagram and then I put it in my story. So you can see a little bit of it. And it was like 7 minutes long. And I will say that I definitely was looking at the clock like, just don't say anything stupid for 7 minutes. You're almost there. Just don't like just get through it. But it was, you know, it was fun. And I, you know, I feel a little bit sheepish of like, here I am on the news talking about, but it was anyways, it was fun. It was a fun experience. And
that's good.
Yeah, that was sort of the big thing. I will say that I also did finally get a key to my building.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
So, and the process was annoyingly, I don't know if I should say simple/comp. Like it was that thing where I had to go and get either a money order or a cashier's check. And listen, you know me, the time that I spent trying to figure out what the difference is between the two. And a money order is less expensive, so I just went with that. And then, like, came back, and you know, the super was in the lobby when I came back, and I'm like, "Hey, I got the money order. Like, I'll just fill it out and bring it to you." And I wasn't even like, I was like, "Do you have to give it to you, and then you have to like get a copy made?" He was like, "No, like bring me the thing, and I'll get you a copy." And cool. And I like filled it out in front of him because I'm paranoid. I'm gonna fill out the wrong thing. And I literally gave it to him, and he reached. Ready? He reached in his pocket.
No.
And gave me a key.
Dick.
I'm like, you had that in your pocket. You couldn't just trust me for, like, you couldn't just like, oh, Mike has always paid his rent on time. He'll give me the money for this key.
For like 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. For like 20 years, I've been paying my rent. For 2 weeks, I've been like having to figure out how to get into my own building. Anyways, it's fine. It was bizarrely exciting to like put a key in the keyhole that night and just be like, I can get into my building whenever I want.
Like a virgin. Yeah. By the way, I just finished listening because I had to listen to it in parts, but your episode of the Celebration tours. It was really good.
It was fun, right? It was a good episode. Oh my God,
I laughed so hard. And there's a lot of fun facts in there. I liked it a lot. I still do. Anything else for your week?
That's kind of it. I mean, once again, working a ton. I'm supposed to stop working as much, except for I just found out that they're asking me to do a little bit more of the shift supervising, as I call it, so I don't have to use the word management, but it's fine. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Is that
good? Yeah, good.
And I am on vacation next week. I go to Fire Island this Sunday and I'll have like 5 nights there. So we won't be recording next week. We will be off for 1 week, just a heads up. But I'm looking forward to that a lot. It's been between all the different projects and working, I'm excited to just like go to an island and not think about anything serious for like 5 days.
Recharge your brain.
For sure. So that's my current plan.
Can't wait to find out where you're staying.
Well, we're going to get there. That's going to be a thing we talk about a little bit later. How about you? How's your week been?
It's been good. You know, I mean, we are in the last week this week for school. So there's all the things happening, and it's also the playoffs and all the things. And of course, so last night I am going to this banquet thing and I have to dress up and get all cute. And as I'm doing my makeup, Mike, I like my right eye keeps fogging up and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I got a little Q-tip. I did a little ooey out of my eye. Sorry. And anyway, I get to the banquet with all these other ladies and some gentlemen. And the entire time my eye is just like seeping out fluids. And I turned to my friend next to me and I was like, I feel like every time, because this, it didn't happen like this, but I thought I had something in my eye the last like social thing I went. I'm like, I said, I think I feel like I get like a psychosomatic eye twitch, something in my eye every time I'm in a social setting, like, you know, whatever. She's like, well, actually, you do have something in your eye. And it was like in the corner and it was all... Anyways, I'm not going to disgust you with my story, but as we left a little early and thank God, because as soon as I dropped her off, my eye just like blew up and was like itching and blah, blah, blah. And then this morning, I mean, like all night, it was like closing and pussing and disgusting. I have pink eye, Mike.
Oh, God.
I know. And I think it might have been because I had some old mascara. But, you know, I don't know. So anyways, thank God for health insurance, I guess. I spent $3.49 for the antibiotics for my eye.
That's nice.
So in 24 hours, I should be non...
Oh, that's fast, contagious. At least.
Okay. Yeah, oh, so right. I'll still look disgusting, but yeah, so I'm supposed to be, I'm not sure if they'll let me, but I'm supposed to be helping out with my son's end of year party tomorrow. And I'm like, you know, that's, you don't want to bring pink eye to a bunch of 5 year olds. Although if adults have it, you know how to be an adult and not touch your eye and then touch somebody else. But, you know, I could have gotten it from Calvin. Not that my son never had it, but like, you know, he's disgusting and he gives me kisses and all the things. Who knows? Don't know. And right now, all I want to do is itch it, but I'm not going to do it.
I got you. No, I'm the same way. I'm the worst. Like, when there's something in my eye, I'm like, meh, I want to get in there.
I thought maybe it was a sty. Well, and that's the thing. There were 2 hours of this banquet that I was sitting there and I was messing with my eye because, one, I was nervous somebody was going to look at my eye and see it all full of gross discharge or whatever. So I kept using a napkin. So I've been like basically hurting my eye for 2 hours. Oh, God.
What time are you supposed to help with Calvin's thing tomorrow?
It's exactly 24 hours.
24 hours.
Yeah, so I took the medicine at noon, and I am also supposed to I'm supposed to run a meeting in the morning, too, but I'm going to try and do that Zoom. Oh, my God. Bad timing. I think, did I say it to you? I said it, I was supposed to do helping out with something today, and I was like, this is such bad timing. They're like, I mean, isn't pink eye always bad timing? I was like, touche. And fuck,
there's not
you.
Like a great
no, I'm
time.
Kidding. Yeah, there's never a good time for pink eye. So yeah, bad timing. That's my week.
That's your week. How's Cal doing?
He's good, man. He's like healing up so much better.
Yeah,
I've been having weird, like, I think I might need to go see a talk therapist or something, because I feel like I keep having these weird like I'm reliving it a little bit, and like I'm reliving some of the emotions. And because I'm old enough to know that you're not supposed to do that, now I feel like, you know, because like when I was younger, I would just like. Do you remember in Sex and the City when she keeps thinking back on how she cheated on
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
What's his buns with Big? It's that's the thing where, you know, you keep feeling that moment. So I keep, not the cheating, but I keep feeling the moment of him getting, like, seeing him.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need some tools to shake it off. I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to like have this for a little while, but yeah, I thank God that this kid is just like boop boppy, everything. He can barely remember it that's happened, and I'm still like getting sick to my stomach and, you know, starting an ulcer from it.
Well, you know, we've talked about this. I think it's great to go to talk therapy. You know, I probably should go again. I'm glad that I did it when I did. I don't know what your situation is, or if you know, I mean, it's always finding the time.
Yeah. And it's hard finding the right person. You know, I've gone a couple times and I've never really found somebody I felt like I liked, you know, but you know what? That's the sort of journey you have to just embark on when you're trying to better your mind and your mind body, you know? So yeah, I'm going to look into that next week. So, cause there are some that take insurance, right? Like, the thing is a lot of them don't.
So.
And that's what's messed up.
Real.
It's like $100 an hour is cheap, you know? And that's crazy. But I get it. I mean, they have to make their money, but still. Yeah.
Yeah. It shouldn't be a privilege, though. Like healthcare, healthcare, period, shouldn't be a privilege.
Yeah. But you
mental
know what's
healthcare,
interesting?
You know?
As I was in the line at CVS, there was a sign that said something about mental health. Like, you can see somebody. It's like a big, it was a huge CVS. It was like one of those CVSs that has like a wellness center in it. And the sign was like, meet your mental therapist or something like that. I should look into that. Cause like maybe, who
you know,
knows?
Check it out. Cause the way that I saw a therapist when I was, you know, seeing one in New York was that it was through, you know, I wasn't paying that much for it. It was through public services.
Yeah, that's good. Like a social worker type thing or something.
Yeah. That kind of thing. I'm not sure what their situation was. My understanding is like, I think they had their private practice and then like once a week saw people through the local clinic for less expensive.
I just want to go in and be like, here's the deal. This is what I want to work on. And I don't want to talk about anything else. I just want to get this figured out. So, Kay, can you work with me on that? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. What are you digging this week? Anything?
You know, so I have a whole bunch because it's going to be a little bit different because I don't have like, I don't have like a TV show, and I don't have, like, I've literally just been working and then like trying to get some of these projects off the ground. And then, but you know what I have been doing, and we have talked about it, and I wanted to take a minute to sort of recap some of the like wonderful, wonderful theater that I've gotten to
see. Oh, yes, please.
And I've already talked to you about some of it, and I'm going to maybe go in chronological order, though I wrote it opposite. You know, I was just thinking about the Into the Woods that I got to see, and particularly Sarah Bareilles and how glorious she was in that role, and Stephanie Blockley, who took over for The Baker's Wife, and such different takes on a role, and such, it's such a great character, like such a great role, and to see these two very different, very strong, very talented women play it was just, you know, so lovely. And then we've talked about A Doll's House and how taken I was with this production, and Jessica Chastain. Did I tell you this, that like about a week later I was seeing a matinee of something else, and it got out right around the time, like right before A Doll's House I knew was gonna get out, and I was like, I'm gonna go. Because, spoiler, it won't matter anymore. We might have talked about this, but, you know, A Doll's House ends with her leaving. Yeah. And the way this current production does it is that the huge, like, load-in door at the back of the stage opens. And so you're looking out onto, like, 45th or 46th Street. I can't think of which one it is. And, like, it's the street, like, it's traffic going by and people walking by on the sidewalk. And she, like, walks out through that door and kind of, like, looks around and then, like, walks away.
Crazy.
And I was like, crazy. And I went and watched her. And I was like, it's going to be right now. And I totally took a picture, and I'll send it to you.
Please do.
Of, like, Jessica Chastain, like, entering the daylight and looking around. And I don't know. I just, for someone who kind of went into that show, like, I don't care about A Doll's House. I loved that production. I loved her. I loved the cast. You know, I didn't... the last thing on my list to see was this play. And not because I didn't care about it, but because I was like, well, if I get it, if I see it, I'll see it. But there's a play called Summer 1976. And it's Laura Linney and Jessica Hecht. It's a two-person play. And I was kind of like, you know, once again, if I get there, I get there. If I don't, I don't. I'm so glad that I saw this play, and I don't know if it's going to tour, like, I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but even if not, like, if it comes out as, like, you should read it. Like, it's literally about these two women whose kids become friends over the summer of 1976.
Okay.
And this very short period of time in which they are incredibly close. And the way in which that reverberates for the rest of their lives, and the way that, like, their lives affect each other, even though, once again, spoiler, like, their friendship doesn't last very long, but it ends up affecting them. And I just thought it was so beautifully done. And Jessica Hecht is nominated for a Tony. Laura Linney is sort of surprisingly not. She was sort of one of the surprise, like, overlooked actresses. But they're both so beautiful, like, just amazing performances in a really, you know, it's a play about friendships and about the people that come into our lives and don't stay in our lives, but still mean so much to us. And it was really, it was a very emotional experience.
I'll have to read it. There, you know, that happens when you have kids too. It's just like,
sure.
I have some really fierce, deep friendships from back in New York, because that's where we had our babies, and we all go to the playground, and that's how I would meet some of these moms. And I still keep in touch because of, you know, the social medias and stuff like that. But one of them's in Germany, one of them's still in New York, you know, there's another. It's just, I can relate.
And that's part of the magic, I think, of it taking place in 1976, is that if you didn't, you wouldn't keep in contact with someone like that, you know?
Yeah.
Not to veer wildly off course, but one of the project that I'm working on involved me watching When Harry Met Sally. And it was sort of funny to, like, watch this movie where these people meet in 77 and then go their separate ways. And you just think, like, there would be no way to keep in contact with someone from that era. Like, you wouldn't have an address because they just moved. You wouldn't have a phone number because we only had landlines, and you're going to move from place to place. So, yeah, it was an interesting perspective to watch with this play. And then, you know, just thinking about the cast of Sweeney Todd. I don't think we talked about it after after I saw it. And I understand some of the criticisms. It's like, the choreography is a choice. Like, you have to kind of decide you're going to go. It's very odd. Like, it's very strangely staged and choreographed. That said, there are moments that are breathtaking. Like, the set and the lighting is so gorgeous. Josh Groban and Annalee Ashford. Annalee Ashford, I know we talk about her a crazy amount of time on this podcast.
I know.
She's so talented. And for her to take this role that is just, like, Angela Lansbury owns this role.
Yeah.
Like, other actresses have played it. But, like, Angela, like, it's her role. Like, Annalee Ashford plays it 180 degrees different from what Angela Lansbury did. And it still works. Like, it's still so funny and so interesting, like, so moving. Like, her moving moments are so beautiful. I really loved it. I really loved it. It's a show that I'd love to see again and probably won't because it was super expensive to see it the first time. But I'm glad that there's going to be a cast recording coming out because I'm excited to, like, have, yeah, to have that captured in some way. And then the two of the things that I saw this last week, you know, I went and bought a ticket to see, saying I'm going to say it wrong. I even looked it up 5,000 times, but I think it's like Prima Facie. And it's a one-woman show starring Jodie Comer, who was the blonde lead from Killing Eve. And she did it on the West End. And it's not based in a true story, but it's based on a real woman's experiences of being basically whatever they would call a defense attorney in England, and where she would often defend men who were accused of sexual crimes.
Ew.
And everyone deserves a defense. Everyone's entitled to the best defense possible. But the thing about this play is that she spends the first half explaining how she would defend them and explaining the things she would do to help defend these men who deserve a good defense. And then partway through, she is a victim of a sexual crime. And it all flips on its head to her now being the person trying to prosecute this man as the victim or the survivor, however you want to say it. And it was not easy. And it was, ooh, to be in an audience and you heard the crying, you heard the sniffling, and all you can think is like the number of people in this theater who have experienced sexual violence.
Yeah.
Hand raised as one of them. Like, it was a really, really difficult but incredibly moving experience. And she is, it's an incredible performance. Once again, I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. I know they're already making a film of it with, I think, Cynthia Erivo is playing the lead in the film version. So I'll be curious to see how they open it into a film.
Mm.
And then last, you know, I did not really care about seeing this musical called And Juliet. It's an interesting premise. It's based on the idea of, like, what if Juliet didn't kill herself?
Okay. So, like, a happy musical?
Sure. Yeah. So, like, what I didn't know is that the framing device is Shakespeare and his wife, Anne. Anne sort of comes along to be like, well, that's a horrible ending. What if she doesn't kill herself? Like, she has her whole life ahead of her. And it's, listen, I'll take the message of, it's very much like gay and trans and everyone live your life and be open and embrace who you are. And I love that message no matter what the form it is. It is a jukebox musical. And I just, it's hard for me to like fully give myself over when there's always a line in the song that I'm like, well, that line doesn't really make any sense. It's super fun. I have friends that love it, and I don't mean to put it down. Like, I enjoyed watching it. The lead, whose name I don't have in front of me, is amazing. But here's the thing. Anne, Shakespeare's wife, is played by Betsy Wolfe, who I've seen in other things and have always enjoyed. She's so good in this. Like, she's so funny. And she's nominated for a Tony Award, and it's a crazy category. Like, I have an idea who's going to win, but it's very, very stacked. But I'm glad that she's at least nominated, and she was wonderful. So that's it. That's a lot of things. But it was sort of my dig-in that I wanted to take a look back at theater this year. And I have a show tonight. I'm going to go see Sean Hayes in Goodnight Oscar, and it's my official last. Yeah, and I've heard great things about him. So I'm excited to see that. And so, you know, that'll wrap up this season of theater for me. But it's been a really fun season. I've been really grateful to see so many things. And there you go. That was my very long-winded...
I love it, though. I can't wait to hear what you think about that show with Sean Hayes, because I've been listening to a lot of Smartless, and I also just watched the first episode of their, I think it's on HBO. They've got like a sort of a docu-series. Yeah, right. And I just that I confirms that too, yeah. to me that Jason Bateman is a nightmare, but it's fine. No, this week I sort of like plowed through the other two. It is so brilliant. It is all the things you said. I can't believe some of the things I'm like, are you kidding me? It took me a minute to get used to the tone a little bit. I mean, it's always had that like wacky tone, and it always takes me a second to get into it. But my God.
Well, him, especially in the newest one.
Yeah.
Holy, I was like, this hurts me to watch.
I know. Oh, I know.
And he's so good. Like, his performance is amazing.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh God, please stop. Please stop doing that. Please.
I know. But I'm really, really enjoying it. And I'm so proud of myself for sticking through when something was really uncomfortable. Did I already talk about Jury Duty with you? I did.
You
right?
did. And it's okay. so funny. You brought it up and you can bring it up again because I just got a message from our friend Patrick who was like, I think Jury Duty was made for everyone except maybe you.
I know, because there's some cringe moments, but it's still
and
good.
Even he then went on to be like, no, you should watch it. I think that you'll enjoy it. So I will at some point.
If you get through it, because at the end, it's like really satisfying in a lot of ways. Uh-huh. And you just... it's good stuff. So, hey guys, if you're on the fence, just go for it. And then last, you know, I love going to see movies in the theater, and there's been a couple, you know, kids movies out. So last, you know, I told you guys about last Little Mermaid, which I liked. I don't care what, if the crab is weird looking. But I saw Spider-Verse, the second one. It's called Spider-Verse Across the Spider-Verse. Oh my God. Like, what a visual. And we saw it in IMAX.
Oh,
and
fun.
I sat on the aisle, thank God, because sure. which helps. I think IMAX in the middle is not for me, but IMAX towards the aisle is totally for me. It was great. It was just like just a different, like, just feast for the eyes. Yeah. So those are my dig-ins. I don't have much, but that's what I'm.
No,
thinking.
I love it. And you're saying I have not been to the movies in so long. I've been seeing theater,
which
but
is
like,
good.
I really like that first Spider-Verse movie. I thought was phenomenal. So
right?
I'm really excited to see the second one.
I love it.
Fun, exciting.
And besides, like Popeye, I couldn't do with anything else out. That's the thing that I would most likely be like. Not would like to have in my life, but
I think that makes sense. And mine is just the ongoing that I just don't know where I'm gonna be when I'm on Fire Island. And I guess the answer is I know where I'm gonna be, but I got an email. Did I say this? I got an email of like, here's your contact for the house.
Oh,
you'll
no,
be staying
you didn't
in.
Tell. You didn't say.
So I sent an email being like, hi. I'm polite, like trying to like be like, I don't know if you know all the information yet, but I'm going to be staying in this house. And I'm just curious, making sure I'm not crashing someone's vacation. Ha ha. Like kind of like, and I've never heard back. So I'm going to email again today and be like, hi, I need to know what the F is going on.
Yeah. Or call that hotel too.
And that's the other thing that I can do too, is call the hotel. Because if we're all in this, if anyone else in the house is just in my situation and this is just like overflow, then that's fine. Like I'll deal with that. I just want to make sure that I'm not going to be there and like someone's like we rented this house for the week, why are you here?
Yeah,
and there's no way that's the situation, right? Like there's no way that's happening. But I will not know that for sure until I know that for sure.
Oh,
so I didn't have a topic today, and I love your topic, and it really made me think.
I'm gonna let you start. Okay, so
because you talk about it.
I've been thinking, you know, I'm never the one to be like, here's a topic, but I have been thinking about, you know, sort of shifting moods a lot lately, because you know, all my life I have moments where I could make a choice, honestly, where I could go dark or go light. And I was just in that thought process, especially this week of like getting pulled back into some trauma. I was like, what's a mood booster? Like, what are things that like change our mood, that make us feel better? And like, so what I wrote to Mike, I'm like, what's a movie? What's a song? And it doesn't have to be just one. I mean, whatever. Like some, maybe a food, maybe a workout, you know, your choice. You answer that however you want, but what are your mood boosters that you can draw from to make me feel good?
So the funny thing about this topic is that I immediately go to like the dark things that make me cry and give me catharsis.
Oh,
and then I was like, well, maybe that's a thing that, because I don't poo-poo that. Like, I think that sometimes it is good to like put yourself in like, I just need to like let some emotion out. I need to like let some feeling out. And then I was like, okay, well, that's fine. But what about the actual things that bring you just joy? And so I was thinking about those. And, you know, a lot of it are the TV shows that I love. Like, I just finished rewatching the first season of 30 Rock, and which means it's about to get real good because it gets in the second season.
Yes.
And I think about, like, Parks and Recreation and about how much joy that can bring. And Friends. Like, I love watching Friends, and there's so much joy in that. And there are certain films, like I always say that like my two favorite films are The Color Purple, which is certainly a journey through darkness, but with so much joy, like so much happiness and joy, and Contact with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And that film is, to me, is so about like connection and about being part of the universe and part of something bigger. And I do, that message is so important to me because I think it's so easy for us and for me to feel very separate, to feel very like isolated and sort of like alone and secluded, and to like anything that gives me the message of like, you are part of a bigger thing. You are part of a larger plan is, an important thing for me to tap into. And, you know, I get down on myself sometimes about going for long walks. And I think like, well, Mike, maybe you should be writing instead, or maybe you should be working on something instead. But you know what? I fucking love long walks. Yes. I love walking around New York City and like looking at it and being like, I've never seen that building before. How wonderful is that? And yeah, those are kind of the things that I think about the most. And number one, but here's what's bringing to my number one, Madonna concerts. Like, nothing will give me joy like the Blonde Ambition Tour or the Girly Show.
God, that's
nothing.
So funny.
Those two shows give me more joy than almost anything else in the world. So those are my go-tos, and those are my go-tos.
Okay, well, I'm gonna give you mine, and I do agree. It was hard for me for movies, but I definitely have some that I just go to watch. You know what's funny is I didn't think of any TV shows, but I definitely, whenever you and I are together and we flip on anything that we love, like even Sex and the City, what a joyful mood booster, you know, that is. But I love the movie Wanderlust. I've talked about that. I mean, also the movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy. I could literally watch that. And I know I've talked about that a lot on the show, but God, it just brings me happiness. I love Wet Hot American Summer, like the movie. I'm going through a list here. I'll even go to Pitch Perfect every once in a while because I love, you know, like that kind of, that's a little bit more brain lightness. And then I'm ending with Mike, Madonna, Blonde Ambition, and The Girly Show, because those are the two.
I mean,
The thing about Madonna's tours is that she's always, it's got a story, it's got a message, and it usually has like a really, a catharsis too, to it.
For sure.
I love it so much. And I really just highly recommend if you guys can find it, I guess, on YouTube, or
they're both on YouTube. You can watch them both on YouTube.
If you need an uplifting, like a mood booster, I'm telling you, I agree with you. I wrote it down. I'm like, Mike, look, it says right there. And then I did. I went through some songs because lately I've been listening to a couple songs. There's a song called "Beggin" by Chris Lake and Aluna that I love. It's just like, it's just a dance. It's a dance track, and I love it. I'm gonna go off on Beyonce because you know I love her. Basically, the entire album of Renaissance makes me happy.
I almost that was definitely one that came into my mind as well. That album is
right.
Yeah,
and it's because of you, because you told me, you're like, just put it on and clean or something. And now I'm like, I'm just gonna put it on and like feel better, you know.
Sure.
And then I have to go to, I mean, also the Lemonade album, whatever. I love Beyonce. But Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine. I mean, it's such like an
such
old,
a good song.
It's a happy song. And then, I don't know, there's a couple rando songs out there. I love Redbone by Childish Gambino. It's kind of sexy, but it makes me happy. And then I'm going to end it with a song called Calling Out. It's got, I'm not even sure who sings it. It's like lyrics born, and then it's basically Blackalicious and a bunch of people, but it's called Calling Out. And it's like a fun, like, let's get up, let's dance, let's be happy. And then any kind of stand-up usually makes me happy too.
Nice.
But that's it.
I love it. I think it's good. I think it's good to cultivate joy, like, and to think about like what can bring you joy, and what, because we all have dark moments, we all have moments where we feel like sort of sad and melancholy. And you're right, like, there so often is that choice of like, well, I can go there, or I can figure out how to make that happen. And and sometimes it's harder than that, but sometimes it is as simple as like, you know what, I'm just gonna put on an episode of this, or I'm gonna, you know what, I'm gonna listen to Vogue,
because
that's what a joyful song, and you know, like things like that, where if you can kind of like find the way to flip your own switch.
That's in the book, that I, that ADHD 2.0 book. They talk about that, like, because you get depressed as an ADHD person too. So if you can like recognize when you start to spiral and moving it to a positive, it's just going to be helpful. Yeah.
Cool. I love it. I love that topic. I was really grateful for that topic.
Yay.
Because it definitely led me to like a happier place.
Good. Good. I'm so glad.
Wonderful. Do you have anything random for us?
You know, something I've been trying to understand, it's a word, and I'm trying to work it through into my life. It's called equanimity. Have you heard that word?
I've heard it before.
So
I'm not sure that I can
tell you
define
what it means,
though.
Because I feel like this is something, the dictionary, Oxford Languages Dictionary. equanimity, it's used a lot in like meditation and like the Buddhists. It's mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. And they give you an example. She accepted both the good and the bad with equanimity. So it's like a calmness in temperament. And I, you know, when things get a little bit bad, sometimes I like lose it. Or not even like outwardly, like inside, and I lose it. So I'm really working on, when I find myself spiraling, I guess you could say, whatever, mm-hmm. is I just think of that word because I'm like, what does that equanimity mean again? It's a state of psychological stability and composure, which is undisturbed by experience of or exposure to emotions, pain, or other phenomena that may cause others to lose the balance of their mind. So I'm just learning about it, but maybe it'll help me out and be a less...
No, I like it.
A less yo-yo person.
Well, I received a post today from our friend Ben Cherry on Instagram, and it's a post from StoryCorps, which I had not really heard of before. Fun. I'm going to send it to you, and I wonder if there's a way we can like post it to like share, because it was really beautiful, and it was a story told by Patrick Haggerty, and it was animated, so it was him talking, and then like you kind of like it was
oh cool,
yeah, shown through animation, and it was about this boy Patrick, who was being driven to school by an older brother, and Patrick is like putting on glitter, and I couldn't tell if he's like getting ready to do a play, but he's like putting his makeup on, and the older brother is like, you know, I would never be caught dead wearing that. And of course the boy's like, what, it looks amazing, I'm in glitter. And he sort of goes off to school, and then the father shows up, and the father is a farmer, and he shows up like in his jeans and his like boots that are covered in, you know, pig poo, and the boy sees his dad and like runs to hide, and doesn't run to hide because he's afraid of his dad, but runs to hide because he's sort of ashamed of his dad, because his dad is not dressed well and his dad is like a farmer. And he, later on in the day, when he sees his father, the dad says, you know, I came to your school today and there was a young boy who ran and hid from me, and I know it wasn't you because I know that you would never hide. And he sort of goes on to be like, you know, I don't know where your life is going to take you. I have a feeling about where it is. I have a feeling of where you are headed. And wherever you're headed, don't hide to get there. Don't get there in a shy way, because hiding means that you're not proud of who you are and not proud of where you're going. And I just thought, like, even if we're not talking about sexuality, which, you know, obviously that's sort of where this story is about, I think about how often I shyly go places. I think about how often I sort of like duck my head and then do the next thing. And what an incredibly powerful message to like proudly do everything you do.
Yeah.
Like, what if you could proudly do everything you do?
Ooh, I like that.
So I was really grateful for that. So thanks, Ben. Thanks for sending that. And I'll send it on to you so you can check it out. I just thought it was really powerful. So it's something that I'm going to try to keep in my mind.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, we're behind the scenes. We're going to end this interview, and then you have to help me with closing my editing tool so that I do it all right. Because I've never had to like edit two things at once before, and I'm juggling the balls right now. So I will thank you in advance for your help, and thanks everyone for listening. Yeah. And we won't be back next week. We'll have a week off, and then we'll be back after that, and I'll tell you where I ended up living while vacationing on Fire. It should be a fun story. All right, thanks y'all for listening.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back in 2 weeks.